בטחים גם יחד הנה מה טוב הנה מה טוב לילה 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 לילה.
Welcome to this week's message from Rabbi Kevin Solomon, Senior Rabbi of Congregation Beth Hillel in Roswell, Georgia. Beth Hillel is one of the largest Messianic Jewish synagogues in the world and provides a place where Jewish people can find the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus in Hebrew, and retain their Jewishness. It's also where Gentiles worship and embrace the roots of the faith in drawing closer to God. Click the link in the description to support this ministry or to view our YouTube channel. Let's join Rabbi Kevin now as he shares this word from Scripture.
So we're continuing in a series based on some of the sayings of our founding rabbi, Robert Solomon. The series, of course, is called The Wisdom of Solomon. I'm going to start Jeremiah 17:9. You don't really need it. I've got a lot of scripture for you today. You can turn to it, but you don't have to. I'm just kind of, this is just like an intro platform scripture for me to then launch into the message here. But Jeremiah 17:9, you can write it down or flip to it if you want. It says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and incurable. Who can know it?" Watch out, y'all. The heart is deceitful. In other words, it's easy to even deceive ourselves based on, you know, oh, we'll just, you know, follow the leadings of your heart. Be very careful about that. Very careful about that. The heart is deceitful above all things. Okay. Sometimes it can be difficult to know when you hear an expression or when you hear a quote. Sometimes it's difficult to know what is from the Bible and what is not. Okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to list a number of phrases, and I want you to determine which ones are from the Bible and which ones are not. Okay, so I'm going to give you some things, and you kind of figure out what's biblical, what's not. But I'll ask you, please remain silent so you do not influence your neighbor. Just kind of mentally make a note as to what you think is biblical and what is not. Again, please no reactions. But see if you can tell which quotes are biblical right out of the Bible. Okay, I'm going to just kind of roll them off to you, and then we'll talk about them afterwards about which ones are what. Okay, money is the root of all evil. Okay, that's quote number one. Here's the next one. The lion shall lie down with the lamb. Okay. Cleanliness is next to godliness. All right. Spare the rod, spoil the child. I know I've heard that one, that's for sure. Okay, let's see here. God helps those who help themselves. Here's another one. This too shall pass. Okay. The Lord works in mysterious ways. Okay. So some of you may have figured it out. Probably not most of you, if you're honest, but the truth is that absolutely none of them are biblical quotes. Zero. None of them are direct quotes from the Bible. Now, it's interesting. Some of them are close. Some of them are not direct quotes from the Bible, but they do convey a biblical truth. Okay? So I'm not saying they're useless quotes. Although other quotes that I shared very much miss the biblical truth. Very interesting. My point here is not to go through each of these one at a time and to say, here is the quote, but here is what the Bible actually says. You can watch the message from last night and kind of track them and then ask artificial intelligence, why is this thought of as being biblical? And it'll give you the biblical quote that sometimes it's based on or the biblical quote that it was distorted from. Okay, because it's both that I gave you just now. But that's not my point. My point is not to go into the nuances of all those quotes. My point is the fact that none of them are biblical quotes. And that is the point. It's easy to miss. It's easy to miss. None of them are actual biblical quotes. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Doesn't mean they're all wrong. That's not my point. It's that if somebody said to you, or if I said to you, if I was up here and I said, you know, as the good book says, and I listed off one of those quotes, probably most of you would go, okay. That's the interesting point that I want to bring out. Okay, Deuteronomy from the Torah, chapter 11, verse 16, it says, watch yourselves so your heart is not deceived and that you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. See, friends, God warned the children of Israel, and by extension, y'all, he's warning us. He's warning you. God warned the children of Israel early on in their journey about deception. About deception. It's so easy to become deceived. So easy to become deceived. Watch yourselves that your heart is not deceived. Remember, the heart is deceitful above all things. It's so easy to be deceived. In 1938, the very famous story of the British Prime Minister, Neville Chamberlain, he met with the German Chancellor Adolf Hitler, and Adolf Hitler assured him, 1938, that annexing the Sudetenland would be Germany's, quote, last territorial demand, end quote. Right, exactly. Yeah, it's laughable to us now, for sure. Neville Chamberlain, the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, came out of that meeting with Hitler and said, we now have, quote, peace in our time. Wow, Neville. Woo! Neville the Naval. It didn't work very well for him. Months later, Hitler invaded Czechoslovakia and then Poland, and World War II started. The most devastating catastrophe in the history of humanity. Neville got deceived by Hitler. Like, big time deceived. Peace in our time. Can you imagine he announced that just months before World War II started? Deceived. It's really easy to become deceived. How many credit card mailers do you get in the mail, right? I get, you know, you just existing, you're going to get these things in the mail. Hey, sign up for my credit card. Sign up for my credit card. My credit card. Sign up for my credit. Everybody's trying to send you these things. Sign up for my credit card. You know, you see these things on TV. Buy our car. Crummy credit. It doesn't make any difference. Sign up. We'll give you credit. And then you see these mailers. 0% APR. 0%. Hey, we're giving away money for free. Hey, logically, why would a company essentially give away money for free? Why would a company do that? Makes no sense, right? Because the fine print reveals that the offer is short term and the rate then automatically goes up exorbitantly. The rate's going to go up exorbitantly. And so what do they bank on? Think about it logically, friends. This just only makes sense, right? You know, I have an MBA and such. It only makes sense is that the companies kind of get you on the 0% thing. But the fine print says it's 3 months, it's 6 months, whatever. And they know you're going to throw a lot of money onto that because it's 0%. And you think like you're riding high, but nothing. They don't have to ask you. It's automatic after 3 months, 6 months, whatever it is. Suddenly it goes from 0%, not to 2%, not to 3%. Oftentimes it goes from 0% to 20%. 20%. That's not an unusual credit card interest rate. Some of you are paying it today. Some people in this room, I guarantee you, paying 20% interest on your credit card. Unbelievable. What a jump. They know what they're doing. They're going to make money. You see, it's all in the fine print, and it looks real good, 0%. Or the company that says, come buy our car, no credit, doesn't matter. You come in with crummy credit and you leave out of there, you have a vehicle, you could call it that. That vehicle may not last long, but the interest rate you're going to pay on that loan is going to last a long time. What is it, friends? It's easy to be deceived by these things, by these offers, by these advertisements. Listen, I know I was in advertising at a little company called AT&T. I know a little something about advertising. I mean, you know, advertising, this is true. This is unbelievable. The Titanic was billed in advertising as the unsinkable ship. Wow, boy, can you even imagine? I mean, that's that. If you look at like posters from the day, it said Titanic, the unsinkable ship. Wow, how did that turn out? Not so good, huh? But people just innocently, oh, it's Titanic, man. That sounds awesome. And wow, it's the unsinkable ship. Oh, man, the hubris of man, huh? The absolute arrogance of man. It reminds me some of the Tower of Babel. You know, we're going to do all this. Hey, it's the unsinkable ship. Oh, really? The unsinkable ship. It's laughable looking back at it. That's the way they advertise. And people just deceived. Okay. Wow. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It doesn't quite have enough lifeboats, does it? It's unsinkable. We don't need them. Oh, okay. I guess I'll get on. Deceived. Don't raise your hand because I don't want to embarrass anybody. Ever sign up for a timeshare? No, don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. Better read the fine print first, okay? That's what I'm saying. Better read the fine print. It's easy to get deceived. Tell you what's big today are something called granny scams. You ever hear of that? Granny scams? There's a lot of people right now, y'all, it is tragic, that are preying on old people. It makes me mad. Granny scams, they call them. And what do they do? Sometimes the scam kind of goes like this, is that they call an elderly woman and they'll say, and she'll answer the phone, hello? And he says, and the voice on this says, hello, grandma? And she says, Jimmy, is that you? And she's just given him the name. And he says, yes, grandma, it's Jimmy. You see, she's already hooked. She didn't know. Yes, grandma, it's Jimmy. My throat, I got a sore throat right now, but I'm in real trouble. I need some help. I need you to send me some money. And I don't want my parents to know about this. Can you please send me some money? Oh, Jimmy, what's wrong? It's a granny scam. It's terrible, man. I tell you what, there's deception. You know, the Trojans thought that the Greeks were leaving them an amazing gift of a nice wooden horse. You know? Deception. See, here's the truth. Generally speaking, no one really thinks that they can be deceived. People don't go around thinking, I can really easily be deceived. Yeah, when I go to the mall, I just go to those little, you know, carts in the middle and I say, what do you think I should do? Yeah, no, nobody does that. Nobody goes out looking to be deceived. And most of the time, people have absolutely no clue that they are being deceived. That's kind of the point. They're deceived. You understand? But what I've seen, oh, listen to this. Watch out on this one. Prepare yourself. What I've seen is that the more people think they cannot be deceived, the more ripe they are for deception. The more people think they cannot be deceived, the more ripe they are for deception. In truth, they've already begun being deceived by believing that they cannot be deceived. You with me on that? You follow me on that? It's a very profound point. It's very deep. And it really goes to a lot of our core and our, even our self-image, what we think of ourselves. and how we perceive maybe society, how we perceive ourselves. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Bavaka Shah, verse 18. It's interesting, deception, you can deceive yourself. Let no one deceive himself. Oh, listen to this passage. It is one that is very topical for right now. 1 Corinthians 3:18. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone thinks he is wise in this age, let him become a fool so that he may become wise. Ooh, that's deep. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in the sight of God. For it is written, he catches the clever in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are useless. Oh, man, that is so profound. Oh, my gosh, that's amazing. Sometimes, friends, the smarter you are, the more you can be deceived. The smarter you are, the more you can be deceived. Why? Because pride. Pride begins to stir. You know, I know a lot. I'm pretty savvy. I got a lot of street smarts. I know a lot. It's going to be I've been around the block. I've seen a lot of things. You know, it's going to be tough to pull one over on me. Oh, wow. Boy, you are just like ripe for deception because you don't really think you can be deceived. So people who don't think they can really be deceived because they're pretty smart, watch out. I know best about that. No, my friends. God knows best. I am only a step away from my ancestors who were deceived. I know nothing. I am dumb. God, show me your ways. Lord, show me the truth. Lord, help protect me from being deceived. Protect me from deception. Show me your path, O Lord, because I know not. I don't want to lean on my own understanding. You see how this relates to the Bible? In all my ways, all I want to acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths, so saith the word. Not because of all your sechel, all your intelligence, your brilliance. Don't rely on that. Rely on him. I don't care how high your IQ is. It's not as high as God's. A few pages later, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. See, is that our attitude? Is that our attitude? 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. Listen to this. But I am afraid that somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, remember, Eve said, the serpent deceived me, so I ate the fruit. Okay, so Eve said right in the very first sin, that she was deceived. But I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your minds might be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion and purity to the Messiah. For if someone comes and proclaims another Yeshua, whom we did not proclaim, or if you receive a different spirit that you did not receive, or a different good news that you did not accept, you put up with that well enough. Skipping down to verse 13. For such men are false emissaries, deceitful workers, masquerading as Messiah's emissaries. And no wonder, for even Hasatan, Satan, masquerades as an angel of light. It is no great thing, therefore, if his servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be according to their deeds. Whew. See, friends, now is where I'm going to get to the quote from Rabbi Robert Solomon, because he understood well that many people are not passionate about their faith. Many people don't put in the time and simply take things at face value. That's what a lot of people do. Just kind of gullible, going with the flow and all that. And so one of the things that he used to say is, don't take my word for it. Read the word yourself. You were already raising your Bible, weren't you? I saw that, Sharon. She knew the quote from Rabbi Ease. You knew it before I even finished saying it. I saw that. That was awesome. Don't take my word for it. You read the word yourself. You know, am I dependable? I hope I'm pretty dependable, but you know what? I'm not as dependable as this is. You read the word yourself. See, friends, there are plenty of people, as it says here in 2 Corinthians, there are plenty of people who proclaim a word that may be related to the word of God, but it's not the same. And that leads to deception. In fact, it's interesting. I hear Mackenzie talked about that very thing this past Tuesday night in her testimony. People who proclaim, you know, those quotes that I gave a little bit earlier, right? People might proclaim these things. You see, it's close to the truth. It's close, but it's not exactly. There's some angles that may be wrong about it. You go to the source, my friends, because otherwise it can lead to deception. Shaul here calls them deceitful workers who are masquerading. Masquerading. Proof texting. Partially looking at things, not in context, using one scripture out of context. How is it that you may ask, how is it that replacement theology became so prevalent in historic Christianity? The reason is deception. Deception. Read the word yourself. You can't read this book. My gosh, you can't have a distantly honest reading of this book and believe in replacement theology. Are you kidding me? The God is kind of abandoned, is done with his Jewish people? Good night, man. You have to throw out 3/4 of the book to believe that. I mean, throw it out. Old and New Covenants. Ridiculous. Deception. Partial truths. Proof texting, you see? Read the word yourself. Why do people, I've heard this lately, I heard this year, why do people keep setting false dates for Yeshua's return? You hear about this? Why do people keep setting false dates? Deception! Read the word yourself! Why are people suddenly saying that things that scriptures say are evil are actually not? Man, you see that all the time. Are you kidding me? That is today. That is today. People are saying that things that scripture says are clearly evil are actually not evil. Why do people say that? Deception. Don't take my word for it. Read the word yourself. See what the book says. It's crystal clear. Isaiah chapter 5, my friends, Isaiah 5, the prophet Yeshayahu, Isaiah said something in Isaiah 5 that I'm telling you, it is more appropriate for today than it was in Isaiah's time. And I say that with all due respect, but my goodness, it feels like Isaiah 5 is exactly for today, Brenda. Isaiah 5 verse 20 says this. It says, oi, I love the translation. Other translations say, woe. Okay, so you go with woe. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who present darkness as light and light as darkness, who present bitter as sweet, sweet as bitter. Man, that's today. Woe unto them. I'm telling you something, friends. That's deception. And I'll tell you this lovingly. I love people. You got to love people. All of us are sinful. But I'm not going to preach political correctness from this bema. If you're looking for that, you got to go some other place. Don't be fooled by political correctness or the fallacy that loving your neighbor means that you have to be affirming of whatever it is they say or do. That's a lie. No, friends. True love means that when someone you care about is running toward a cliff, you try to show them the danger of the cliff. Don't just affirm them right off the cliff. Don't be deceived. Remember this, the heart is deceitful above all things. And this goes for the person who is in deception as well as the person trying to help the person in deception. Sometimes somebody is in deception and somebody comes and they have a heart that they want to help them, but they don't know. And then they just kind of go along with things and suddenly they're in deception too. Trying to help the person in deception. And so effectively they both go off the cliff. Them's the truth I'm talking about here. You look it up yourself. We can't rely on what seems right to us. See, when what seems right to me may be very different than what seems right to you. You know, Brenda may think something's right. I may think something different is right. And Samuel may think, well, it's a little bit different. Daryl back there thinks, well, I'm not sure. I think this is right. I think, okay, we got all these people. Subjective morality, you know, it's terrible. No, friends, we got to go with what this says is right and wrong. Ephesians chapter 4. Rabbi Shaul further teaches us that the way to combat deception is to grow into spiritual adulthood. Ooh, man, I'm telling you what, you never know what I'm going to be preaching today. Whenever I get back from Israel and I'm jet lagged, watch out. When I get back from Israel, I'm jet lagged. Three mornings ago, I woke up in Jerusalem, y'all. I'm still a little bit kind of, you know, my days and nights are turned upside down right now, right? It's you know, in Israel right now, it's bedtime, getting near bedtime. And so who knows exactly, but that's okay because it's exciting. It's exciting. It's exciting. The way to combat deception is to grow into spiritual adulthood. What do I mean? Ephesians 4:13. This will continue until we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of Ben Elohim, the Son of God, to mature adulthood, to the measure of the stature of Messiah's fullness. As a result, we are no longer to be like children, tossed around by waves and blown all over by every wind of teaching, by the trickery of men with cunning and deceitful scheming. Ooh, boy, that's a kind of a correction to the congregation of Ephesus there. Friends, as we mature in our faith, we should begin to know the word so intimately that deceptive teachings or even deceptive impulses within ourselves are put aside because we know what the truth is. We know what the truth is. And also, friends, when it talks about spiritual adulthood, I tell you lovingly, this has little to do with your physical age. Little to do with your physical age. A very young person, if you're a young person out here, can be so full of the Word of God that their discernment supersedes that of older adults who've been lazy in their spiritual walks. No. So, you know, just because somebody's been a believer 20, 30, 40 years doesn't mean that they got it all together. They may be lazy in their spiritual walks. They may not have been passionate about digging into the Word of God. Some young person may be just voraciously reading the Word, sucking in the Word of God. And wow, you know what? They're able to withstand deception better. Very interesting. See, friends, don't take my word for it. Read it for yourself. Exactly. I mean, that's how we're going to grow and change the world. Colossians chapter 2, please. Colossians 2. So how can we defend against deception, friends? There's a number of ways. To me, it's like, what is the antidote or what is the force field that we can put up to defend ourselves against deception? You know, it's like if you watch superhero movies, they're like, you know, oh, the attack's coming. They put up their force field, right? Yeah. It's like, what is the force field for deception? Colossians 2:6. Therefore, as you receive Messiah Yeshua as Lord, so continue to walk in him, rooted, built up in him, and established in your faith, just as you were taught, overflowing with thankfulness. See that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men and their basic principles of the world, rather than Messiah. Friends, in order not to be deceived, we have to, one, continue to walk in Him, so says the Word. In other words, stay faithful to Him. Keep on walking with Him. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop. Keep on walking with Him. See, this leads to a deflection power against deception because you're continually walking in Messiah. And then it says, be rooted in Him. Friends, we have to grow roots. Roots. Honestly, I'm going to tell you something. One of the cardinal sins that leads to deception is to act as a lone ranger. I am telling you something. People who fall out of fellowship with their spiritual mishpacha are ripe for deception. I've seen it time after time after time after time. And I hear some people say, oh, well, I don't need to come to God's house. I can just read the Bible on my own and I'll just learn from him directly. Man, I hear something like that. I'm like, whoo, boy, that bad boy is ripe for deception right there. You know, isn't that interesting how you can do that? But what about all the commands in the New Covenant about not forsaking assembling together and the structure of the Kehillah and for encouragement and to receive teaching? No, you're going to do it all yourself. All right, knock yourself out. You know what's going to happen? They're going to fall into deception. That's what's going to happen. The vast majority, I tell you, I've seen it once, I've seen it 100 times. People fade away. They fall away from regular fellowship, regular worship, regular house of God. It's not just Bethel. It's wherever you attend, you know, if we have a visitor or whatever. And they kind of fade away, and it's not so important to them that there's no roots. You're giving up the roots. And so what happens? Deception comes. And you know when I'll see him again? I'll see him again when they've been deceived and they're looking for help. Oh, Rabbi, help me. Oh, okay, I see. Wow, I hadn't really seen you that frequently. Young people, when they go off to college, often stop continuing to walk in him. They disconnect from their roots and drift off as if floating away in outer space. Young people, a lot of times this happens to. They're raised in the Lord, then they go off to college, and then they stop attending, and then they just drift, and they're gone. And it's like, oh, wow, look down there near the Crab Nebula. There's so-and-so. They're just floating. You know, where are the roots? This is what Scripture says. It's easy to be deceived when you have no roots. It's not that they intend to be deceived, you understand? No one ever does. No one ever intends to be deceived. But this is a tactic of the adversary. And we must, the Scripture says, and we must be built up in him, established in our faith, and overflowing in thankfulness. This is all part of how we defend against deception. Acts 17. And we should be like the Berean Messianic Jews, What did they do? Acts 17:10, the Bereans, listen to what they did. This is very interesting. As soon as it was night, the brothers sent Paul and Silas to Berea. Upon arrival, they made their way to the Jewish synagogue. Okay, so they were preaching the good news. Now, these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica because they received the message with goodwill, searching the scriptures each day to see whether these things were true. Friends, Paul the Shaliach, Shaul, this dude was trained more than any of us. So this guy knew 50 times more than I do, was 50 times better a preacher than I was. He was convincing. He was compelling. He knew his stuff. He knew more than anybody in that synagogue. He knew more than anybody. I'll guarantee you that. But you know what? It's interesting. As much as he knew, they didn't just simply take his word for it. So it says. What did they do? It says they read the scriptures themselves each day to see if these things were true. So they checked up on Paul and Silas. Are you reading the word and checking what others think? Checking what you think and comparing it to the word of God. And by the way, this goes for our Jewish traditions as well. Our Jewish traditions are great. They're wonderful. They're powerful. And oftentimes they reveal God. But at the same time, even our Jewish traditions, you better compare them to the Word of God. That's what we seek to do here at Beth Hillel. That's why there's some traditions we do, some traditions we don't do and won't do. But some traditions we do that are very consistent with the Word. But you got to check it with the Word. You understand? The Word of God is where it's at. Everything should be checked with the Word of God. I want to conclude with 1 John chapter 4. 1 John 4. I told you I had some good scripture for you. Juicy, delicious, juicy fruit. As a kid, I always loved juicy fruit. I had a weird connection to juicy fruit because my pediatrician, when I was just a little kid, you know, you go to the doctor as a kid and it's a little, you know, you're kind of scared a little bit. But every single time, this was my doctor's trick. I realized it afterwards. Every time after the examination, he threw one piece, wrapped piece of juicy fruit on the table there as like a reward for, I guess, not biting his finger or something, you know, as a pediatrician. And so it was always like, okay, we'll see you next year. Flip. And there was the juicy fruit. And it was like, juicy fruit was a sign. Oh, okay. Everything's over. Okay. It's all okay. I'm done with the checkup. And so I just had warm feelings. So that juicy fruit always, to this day, it just gives me warm fuzzies, you know? I didn't talk about that last night at all. Probably shouldn't have today. I don't know. It has nothing to do with the message. I don't know. Okay. Finally, like we spoke about during Sukkot, we will know them by their fruit. Remember on Sukkot, I talked about that. We are to be fruit inspectors. But most importantly, we have to start in our own lives. What's our own fruit? You see, sometimes you can tell about deception by looking at the fruit. What is the fruit that comes out of somebody? Okay, if it's some bad fruit, there may be some deception. What is the fruit that's coming in your life? Are people like, yeah, I like to be around that person? Or people like, what, that's a jerk, man. Or, whoa, I'll stay away from that guy. Or that was very hurtful what they did. Or so, you know, if it's bad fruit, there may be some deception in your life. It's at least entirely possible, especially around people of faith. What is the fruit? See, that tells us so much. And friends, we have to be testers. We have to be testers, test things. What does it say in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1? It says, loved ones, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see if they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. You got to test the spirits, friend. Don't just glibly and gullibly do whatever somebody says. Don't just climb onto the Titanic. Okay, I'll get onto the Titanic. I'm Jack. I won it in a card game. read the fine print before you sign your name to a contract. It's not fun to read the fine print. I know that sometimes when I'm signing a contract, sometimes they're like, okay, just sign this one, you know. And I'm like, okay, let me just look at this. And they're like, geez, man, this guy's, is he going to read the whole thing? I mean, it's like our lawyers took 17 years to write this, you know. You're going to, exactly, that's why I'm going to read it, exactly. Don't just blindly sign and buy a timeshare. Don't just do it blind. Don't send your money off for miracle holy water. Don't do it. I'm being straight with you. I love you. You know, on one of the Alaska gold shows that Rebetzin, she and I watch these Alaska gold shows, and sometimes one of the shows we watch, an expert miner gave sound advice as to where to mine. You know, where is it that you start digging if you're looking for gold? Okay, if there's gold in them, there are hills. Yeah, but where? I mean, you know, it's so where do you mine? You know, where do you start digging? Because, you know, you bring out excavator and you start digging and say, man, it's expensive. It's expensive. You know, the land is expensive. The equipment's expensive. The gas expensive. Everything is crazy expensive when you're mining. So you don't just mind, you know, just like, oh, you know, divining rod, or just close your eyes and throw a dart and that's where you mine. That's what a lot of miners do. That's one of the problems. It's talked about in the show. Don't do that. What did the expert miner say to do to figure out where you're going to mine? Drill, drill, drill. Exactly. That's the answer. She knew. I didn't tell her that I was going to say this at all. Well, that's great. I don't use Revitson a lot in my messages. I enjoyed them. That was fun. drill, 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 meaning drill to test how much gold is in the ground before you spend the money to dig it all up. So in other words, what they have these machines, and they're like these tubular machines, and they just start boring into the ground straight down, and they bore really deep, and then they pull out the core and say, okay, they test, is there gold enough here for us to dig? Does it make financial sense? And let's do the equations and all. That's the way you figure out where you're going to mine. Not just, you know, oh, I think I'll mine here. X marks the spot. No. Drill, drill, drill. That's what the expert says. Drill, drill, drill. In the same way, we as believers must test, test, test. Test the spirits. Test the fruit. Test. Test, test. If we're going to avoid deception, don't jump into things too quickly. Test, test, test. This is the way we stay out of deception. The title of my message is Read the Fine Print. Let's bow our heads. Oh, man, yeah, I'm excited about being here. I want to ask if there's anybody here today who's never said a prayer to receive Yeshua as your Messiah. If that's you and you've never given your life to God, but you want to, raise your hand and we'll pray together. If you've never said, yes, I want to follow God, but you want to, just raise your hand and we'll pray. Is there anyone who's never done so before but wants to? Is there anyone? Lord, I pray for our congregation, Lord, that we will be able to resist deception. Lord, let us not become deceived by other people, by Hasatan, or by ourselves. Let us not be deceived by ourselves. Oftentimes, that's where the deception really starts. Lord, help us not become deceived. Help us be on guard against deception. Lord, why? Because we're so in the Word. Because our roots are so deep. Because we're continuing to walk with you, oh Lord. Lord, help us, God, be sensitive and to test, test, test whilst reading the fine print. Lord, I thank you for this, God. You're a good God. You teach us your things. You help us grow. We depend and we rely on you. Lord God, we thank you for these things. What an honor and a privilege. In Yeshua's name, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Rabbi Kevin. Please like, subscribe, and share this link with a friend. We would be grateful to receive your tax-deductible gift to further the good news of Messiah Yeshua. To make a contribution, please click on the PayPal link in the description. Also, to view our regular services, click the link in the description for our YouTube channel. If you would like more information about Yeshua the Messiah or how you can become part of our Beth Hillel family, please visit our website at www.bethhillel.org. That's BETHHALLEL.org. Or call 770-641-3000. If you are in the Metro Atlanta area, please visit us for an Erev Shabbat service, Friday nights at 8 o'clock, or Shabbat services, Saturday mornings at 11. God bless and Shalom.